For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Matthew chapter 21, Palm Sunday, here it is. Here is the passage. Let's start in verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, I've always mispronounced that, but I've learned the proper way to say it now. Now, I had to practice a lot, and in my notes, I phonetically wrote it out so I could get it right. And I'm going to give you a class right now on how to say it. Bethphage. Bethphage. All right, ready? Bethphage. One more time. Bethphage. I don't know if you'll remember that by tonight or not. I have to keep looking at it phonetically. It doesn't look like Bethphage to me. When they were drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, this is what Jesus said to those two disciples. He said, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, now this is all from Zechariah chapter 9. See, the Bible is a book of prophecy, a sure word of prophecy. All the prophecies in the Bible have already taken place or will take place. Amen to that. And this is in fulfillment of prophecy. And verse 5, right from Zechariah 9, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as the Lord commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the tree and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. Getting ready for the sermon, I read through this passage, 50 to 100 times. There's something about just reading through the Bible continually, just studying, thinking, and saying, God, show me the great truth, because there are great truths on every page of the Word of God. Can't be fathomed, can it? No. I read through the Bible 9 times last year. I'm working on reading another 9 times this year. The Bible is the greatest book there is. Amen to that. And so much to be learned. And God showed me something I want to show you today from this passage. Now, I want you to get the setting in mind. This took place in the springtime of the year. Palm Sunday is always directly after spring gets started. This past week, spring got started, and officially it started on March the 19th. They've got an exact time. 11:06 p.m. was when the vernal equinox took place. Yeah, that's what it's called when springtime gets started. And in the springtime of Jerusalem, woo! I'm telling you, Jerusalem just, I mean, is lush and beautiful in the springtime. All the winter rains are over. They hardly ever get snow. They have had snow there in Jerusalem, but it's incredibly rare. But they do get some rain, and they love getting rain. But now the rain season, that's basically gone this time of the year, Matthew 21 time of the year. It's springtime. And I looked online and saw the, you know, you got longitude and latitude. And I looked, and Jerusalem coming across America is about where Jacksonville, Florida is. Think about Jacksonville, Florida this time of the year. You know, we got these snowbirds that go down there to Florida. Yeah, in February I preached in Florida. I'm a seasoned evangelist now. I don't go to Montana in February. I do that in July. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting the hang of this thing. And think about Jacksonville and on across to Dallas, Texas, and all across the bottom part of our country there. Think about springtime down there. Well, that's the way it was here in Jerusalem. I mean, everything's verdant and emerald green, and it's alive, man, and it's just wonderful. And the Jewish folk now, they're thinking about Passover. Every year this time of the year, they think about Passover. Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross. You know the hymn. I will pass over you. This is taking place around Passover time. It's astounding. Astounding, the details that God has, isn't it? I was asked years ago to Tom Farrell and John Getch and myself to write a book together. So the three of us teamed up, and John Getch was signing out the topics, the chapters. And he assigned me a chapter on music and assigned me a chapter on prayer and different chapters. He assigned me this chapter entitled, "The Devil is in the Details." I said, "Sir, I won't write that chapter." He said, "Really?" I said, "Really?" I said, "I would write a chapter entitled, 'God is in the Details.'" I said, "I don't like to give credit at all to the devil." And friends, God is in the details. Let me tell you about one of them. This is a great blessing. So Egypt's over here, and Israel is in Egypt. Why are they in Egypt? They're slaves. Why are they slaves in Egypt? Why are the people of God in slavery in Egypt? Because of their sin. You study the Bible, there's four ways God judges countries. By the way, God's judgment's already on America. It's mixed with mercy at the moment, but that could change in a second. So Israel's over here because of their sin. They're slaves. And then a fellow named Moses was born. He came as a little baby. And he becomes one of the greatest leaders ever. Remember the plagues were coming? Oh, the plagues were coming. And Moses going there and talked to Pharaoh. And 8 times in the Bible it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. That's a dangerous thing. He hardened his heart. Another 8 times it says God hardened his heart. That's astounding, isn't it? Well, finally, plagues came. The plague of the frogs. My wife, Renee, hates frogs, you know. She would not have done well during that, you know. And finally, that last plague. Now, if you put the blood on the up here and on the doorpost, well, then the Passover angel, the death angel would pass over. But that blood wasn't applied. Firstborn, going to pass away. Wow, it's good to have the blood applied. Well, so here it is, it's Passover, and it's around vernal equinox time. So what happens in the springtime and the vernal equinox and so forth? I'm telling you a detail about God. Well, there's that sun during the day. That's nice. But if you were about to leave Egypt and go through the wilderness, it'd be nice to have that sun during the day. It'd be nice to have a full moon at night. Do you know what? In the providence of God, because of exactly what time this takes place, there's a full moon at night. Wow. God's generous, even in every little detail. Sometimes you don't even, until afterward you say, "I wasn't even thinking." But in the providence of God, how He directed me. Oh, in those unthought of things, that God is always, oh, He's in the details. And here it is, this day, Palm Sunday, has been prophesied decades and centuries before. And here it is. It's now here. It's the springtime of the year, about 2,000 years ago. And God's leading everything perfectly. And I want to give you three little points today. And the title of the sermon is Public Truths About King Jesus. Public truths. As I studied through this Bible, this passage, about 50 times, it finally dawned on me. Look in verse 8. When I pause, say the next word. Everybody help me. Verse 8. And a very great, a multitude. Verse 9. And the multitudes. Verse 11. And the, it finally dawned on me as I just kept reading and kept reading and how public this was. This was not a little private thing. This first Palm Sunday, it was incredibly public. Now think with me. So much of the Lord's ministry was not very public like this. Oh, no. So much of the Lord's ministry was in very private settings. It's the only time in the Bible we see Christ on an animal. That's interesting in itself, you know. But how public this was is so very, very striking. I mean, think about when he was baptized. Was there a big crowd there to see Jesus baptized? No. No, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came down. But there was not a big crowd that day. How about that time when Christ was out in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? Well, the devil was there. Jesus was there. Was there a big crowd? No, there wasn't a... There was not a multitude on that day. Well, so many times Christ would heal the leper. There's 5,000 cases of leprosy in America right now. Did you know that? That's a big number. A lot bigger number than I thought it'd be. Whew. I'd hate to get leprosy, wouldn't you? Oh my. And Jesus would heal lepers. He'd heal them. And often He'd say, "Tell no man." Not very public. Healing blind folk. If you could never see and suddenly you got your sight, man, you'd want to tell everybody about it. And it'd be in little groups. How about that time on the Mount of Transfiguration? I've seen that mountain. I've been over there. The Mount of Transfiguration. Down at the bottom of the mountain, there's 9 disciples down there. And there's a father who brings his demon-oppressed, possessed boy, trying to get some help out of those 9. And they were powerless. And where's the Lord Jesus? Well, He's on top of the mountain. Has He got a big multitude up there? No. No. He's got Peter, James, and John. You mean just 3 disciples? Yeah. Just that inner circle group. They're up there. It's not a multitude. Jesus comes down and they find that boy. And Jesus said 4 fantastic words. I love it. That boy, he's been jumping in the fire trying to kill himself. He'd been jumping in the water trying to drown himself. And Jesus, what did He say about that boy? He said these 4 words, "Bring him unto me." Brother, that's what we're trying to do here at Ripley Baptist Temple. Just bring folks to Jesus. Bring them in. Just bringing folks to Jesus. Yeah. Was there a great big multitude on the top of that mountain at the Mount of Transfiguration? No, there wasn't big. On and on and on in the Scriptures, it's just these little groups. But on this day, it's incredibly public. Now, in the Bible, there's 2,900 people named individually. Sometimes their name's not given, but they're just the characters mentioned. 2,900. Somewhere between 2,900 and 3,000. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. It's less than 3,000. Wow. Out of 100 billion people who have ever lived, that's about the number. 100 billion. There's 8 billion alive today. The population just keeps exploding. About 100 billion that have lived. 3,000 made it into this book. Wow. That tells me something. God loves the whole world. Amen. Everybody in the world. He also loves that individual, doesn't he? This trio got up here and sang His Life for Mine. I sat there saying, God, why would you do that? Why would Jesus give His life for me? I don't deserve that. But I sure am glad He gave His life for me. An individual. It's one thing to know, for God so loved the world. Yes, He loves the entire world. But something else, know He loves you. He loves everybody in this county, everybody in this state, everybody in this country, everybody in the whole world. You may not like them, but God loves them all. Do we deserve it? No. Do we have it? Yes. I'm glad about it. Oh, but this day was very, very, very public. I'm talking about the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And here He's coming into Jerusalem, exactly the way the Bible is prophesied. And they begin to rejoice. The King of Israel is here, the Savior of the world, the Messiah from heaven. The glorious covenant has taken place now. What's been prophesied is now here. This is the very day. And the public acclamations that were given this day. Amazing, absolutely amazing how public this was. Number one, King Jesus rode into Jerusalem publicly. Very, very public. But as Pastor has mentioned to us, that same week, just days later, crucify Him. Now, this time of the year, thousands and thousands and thousands of folk make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's Passover. Time to go to Jerusalem. It's estimated by Josephus that somewhere between 1 and 2 million had come this day. 1 million people. Where's everybody going to sleep? There's not enough hotel rooms for that. There isn't. So what did they do? They brought their tents. And here it is, so lush and beautiful outside. And then there's a bunch of white tents and a bunch of black tents and tents of all these different colors. There are just people everywhere. This place is teeming with people. What a throng of people. And they were glorifying Jesus on that Palm Sunday. And just days later, crucify Him. Oh my. Things can change quickly, can't it? Things can change quickly. People can talk nice about the Lord 1 minute and then be awful about the Lord the next minute. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Here they are screaming, crucify Him, crucify Him. And Jesus Christ, the most extreme punishment allowed by Roman law was death by crucifixion. There's nothing more extreme than that. But it's not just the agony of the cross, the physical. Oh, Lord, He who knew no sin became sin for us. That Thursday evening that I got saved, the church had come and they got me there. And the preacher got up and he preached on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I heard for the first time in my life what Jesus had done for me. I was an 8-year-old boy. Church came and got me. We got to keep getting these kids. Amen to that. Let's keep bringing them. Keep bringing them. Whew, it got me, and I heard. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I knew how to cuss. I knew how to do some things I won't tell you. Oh, I'd never heard about Jesus like this. And when the preacher told what all He suffered on the cross, and when they talked about Him spitting on Him, I couldn't believe that. That's gross. I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. Why would the Son of God do it? There's one reason. L-O-V-E. Love. I'm not lovely, but He loved me anyway. And here's Christ on the cross. And all of my dirty, rotten sin put on Him. All of yours too. And all the sin of the entire world. Jesus died for all. right there on the cross. And it was very, very public. Now, let's think a minute. Okay, wait a minute. It's the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is in charge. Now, wait a minute. If you've studied history a little bit, you know that Rome loves religion. Man, they loved it. They'd conquer a people group, and they'd say, what kind of religion you got? And they'd say, well, we worship Neptune over here. They said, well, let's just add Neptune to our gods. Come on, you're part of us now, and we just add Neptune to our religion. And add this other religion. Juno, yeah, add Juno. Artemis, add Artemis. He's another one of our gods. Just keep adding gods. Yeah, we're just going to have everybody's religion. Yeah, we love religion here in Rome. But why didn't they like Christianity? Because you just can't add Jesus to other gods. It's like trying to mix oil and water. It doesn't blend. It's like putting darkness in there with light, and darkness can't get in there. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Amen to that. And oh, yes, Jesus doesn't blend with all these fake religions. I hate fake religion. I despise it. I don't hate Muslims. I love Muslims, but I hate that Islamic faith because it's fake religion. Oh, yeah. And the Jews, man, they rejected, Roman Empire, they rejected Christianity. No, we're not going to have that. You can't be exclusive the only way to heaven through Jesus. So they let him be crucified. Yeah. And persecute the Christians. I asked one of the ambassadors of America, who's the most persecuted people in the whole world? He said, oh, it's easy. Christians. Christians? Oh, yeah. He said, around the world, they're still exterminating sinners all over the world to exterminate Christians. They find out you're a Christian, they kill you. How about that? Wow. So not everybody loves Jesus. Crucifying. It was public. Let me ask you a question. Oh, don't answer out loud. I'm afraid you'll get it wrong. I like to ask questions where I know you're going to get it right. I'm afraid you get this one wrong. Slow down. Don't answer out loud. Yeah. What if Jesus had been crucified privately? If God had this to take place privately, would that have been effective? Well, of course, because anything God does is effective. But in the sovereignty of God, he didn't have it done privately. Right. I think if I was being crucified, at least I don't let everybody see. Can I be crucified without anybody seeing? I wouldn't want my family to see. I want my friends to see, my neighbors to see. I don't want them to see. But in the sovereignty of God, and the greatest display of love ever, Jesus Christ died on the cross publicly. Amen. We're thinking about the public ministry of Jesus Christ. He rode into Jerusalem publicly. He was crucified publicly. I want to go a little further in the story. Of course, now, you know they buried Christ. They put him in a tomb. I've been over there to Jerusalem. I was astounded. I thought the place geographically, land-wise, would be bigger than it is. It's not bigger than what I had a much bigger place in mind as far as square mileage. Smaller than I thought. World-class city. There's a world-class city right in Matthew 21, world-class city today. I pray, me and my wife, every day we pray for Jerusalem. It's part of our prayers every single day. I love Jerusalem. Well, here this takes place, going to have a tomb over here. No need to buy it because you're just going to use it for 3 days. Amen. Amen. There's three tombs that claim this is the tomb of Jesus. I went to the one that I think is probably the right one. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I went to the one that I think is the right one. So I went there. Can I tell you? It's empty. Can I tell you about those other two that claim to be they're empty too. We serve a risen Savior. Amen to that. I listened to the choir sing that song. I had to actually go, Brother Mitch, and look at the song. I said, is that one we published? And it was. I thought I remembered it. Someone said, Brother Fox, your music's just too happy. I have the gift of criticism, and I can just tell you, your music's too happy. There's a reason why the music's so happy. It's because we do serve a risen Savior. But I want you to think ahead with me. There's coming a time when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Oh, yeah. Man, things are going to change on this earth. You take out of Ripley, you take every Christian out of Ripley. I'm talking every Christian dad, every Christian granddad. You take every Christian man out of here, every Christian lady out of here, every policeman that knows the Lord, every deputy that knows the Lord out of all Jackson County. You take everybody who knows the Lord out of the entire country. What's left? Whoo, it's not good. It's not good. You take every policeman that knows the Lord and take them out of this country. You take all the military men that know Christ as Savior out of here. You take every politician who knows the Lord, every preacher who knows the Lord. 2/3 of the preachers in America are not saved. That's a fact. Oh, my. But you take all the saved, man, it's going to be bad fast. What happens? That's called the rapture of the church. And all the Christians are out of here. 7 years of great tribulation. Very public on this earth. Everybody's going to know something happened. Where'd all them people go? All right, by the way, if the trumpet sounds today, I'm out of here. I'm glad about that. Because the great tribulation period is going to take place. 7 years of tribulation on this earth. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through this. You read the book of Revelation. What happens? Well, the wrath of man is poured out. Then what? Then the wrath of the devil is poured out. And then the wrath of God gets poured out. Oh. Battle of Armageddon. All this takes place. Well, then what happens? Then, very, very, very publicly, Jesus comes back at the second advent. When he comes right back and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years very, very publicly from the beloved city, from Jerusalem. I like our form of government, federated constitutional republic. I like our form. I like it. I think it's best in the world. But, you know, we don't have any perfect office holders. You know that? Did y'all know? Yeah. We kind of know that. Yeah. Even the best of them are not that great, you know. Yeah. But there's coming the best form of government ever because we're going to have a perfect leader named Jesus Christ. And for 1,000 years, very, very publicly, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And then something unthinkable takes place. I can hardly believe this. After Christ has ruled and reigned for 1,000 years, there's going to be one more rebellion right here at the end of it. One more time, man's going to make war with God. Read the Bible, it's there. One, they're going to compass, the Bible says, the beloved city, Jerusalem. And they're going to try to make war with God. You're going to lose. You'll never beat God. So what happens? God annihilates them. Why would you do that? Why would you not receive Christ as your Savior? He rides in Jerusalem publicly. He dies on the cross publicly. He's buried. He rises from the dead in the providence of God. This is the plan of God of salvation. Salvation. Saved. Saved is a Bible word. As I'm out soul winning, people are like, what do you mean saved? You mean like a coupon code? I mean, I've heard that. Yeah, saved. What do you mean saved? Saved is a Bible word. It means rescued. I got rescued from going to hell. I got saved. I got rescued from going to hell. I got rescued to get to go to heaven. Amen. I got rescued from my sin. I'm an awful sinner. Praise God, I'm a saved sinner. I've been justified. Just like I'd never sinned. How? Only because of Jesus. So now, after we've thought about all this public ministry, what should we do this week? As Christians, we should go very, very public with our faith in Christ this week, telling everybody we see. I got to stop in at an insurance company, and they had 300 of their agents at this thing. And the president of the place, I know him, he said, "You want to say a word to these folks?" I said, "Yes, I do. I want 7 minutes." He said, "7 minutes?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I want to tell all of you about the best day of my entire life." And I told him about the day I got saved. I was going to have 7 minutes. I think we went a couple, 3 hours. It turned into a revival meeting. It was astounding what God did at an insurance company. You can't take the gospel the wrong place. I've preached in factories. I've preached in so many different situations. I got to preach in a lawyer's office. I'm talking a big-time lawyer in Washington, D.C. 10-story building on the top story. Gets 70 of his lawyers. I got to preach to them last year. That's astounding to me. I preached Revelation chapter 1. I said, "All you lawyers, you're all concerned about how bad things are in America today. And you're saying, what is this world coming to?" I said, "It's so easy. This world is coming to Jesus." Are you ready? Your friends ready? Have you received Christ? If you have not received Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today. There's danger in delay in coming to Christ.